नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, entitled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. Text number 24. Vag Gadgada, Vag Gadgada Dravate Yasya Chittam Rudati Abhikshanam Hasati Kvachich Cha Vilaja Udgayati Nityate Cha Madbhakti Yukto Bhuvanam Punati Vagadgada Dravate Yasya Chittam Rudati Abhikshanam Hasati Kvachicha Vilaja Udgayati Nityate Cha Madbhakti Yukto Bhuvanam Punati Vak Speech Gadgada Choked up Dravate Melts Yasya Of whom Chittam The heart Rudati Cries Abhikshanam Again and again Hasati Laughs Kvachit Sometimes Cha Also Vilaja Ashamed Udgayati sings out loudly. Nityate dances. Cha also. Madbhakti yuktaha one fixed in devotional service to me. Bhuvanam the universe. Punati purifies. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A devotee whose speech is sometimes choked up, whose heart melts, who cries continually and sometimes laughs, who feels ashamed and cries out loudly and then dances, a devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. Translation responsively. A devotee whose speech is sometimes choked up, whose heart melts, who cries continually and sometimes laughs, who feels ashamed and cries out loudly, and then dances. A devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. Purport. Vag Gadgada refers to a highly emotional state in which the throat is choked up and one cannot express oneself. Vilaja indicates that a devotee sometimes feels embarrassment due to bodily functions and memories of past sinful activities. In this condition, a devotee loudly cries out the holy name of Krishna and sometimes dances in ecstasy. As stated here, such a devotee purifies the three worlds. By melting of the heart, one becomes very steady in spiritual life. Normally, one whose heart easily melts is thought to be unsteady. But because Lord Krishna is the stable foundation of all existence, one whose heart melts in love of Krishna becomes more stable and cannot be disturbed by opposing arguments, bodily suffering, mental problems, supernatural disasters, or the interference of envious persons. Because such a devotee is fixed in loving service to the Lord, he becomes the very heart of the personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanandana Shalakya Chakshurumata Mena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare Krishna. I'd like to welcome Mahatma Prabhu back to Melbourne. We have been missing you a lot, missing your questions and comments after the classes. So in this verse we can see that the devotee who is described here is a devotee on the topmost platform of spiritual life. A devotee who has developed love of God, pure love of God, spontaneous love of God. So and he's in the Uttama Adhikari platform. So these are some of the symptoms which are mentioned in this verse, like sometimes the speech is choked up, whose heart melts, cries continually, laughs, feels ashamed, dances. And we can see that in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took the role of a devotee. And if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, throughout you see manifestations of ecstasy throughout the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahaprabhu, who's absorbed in love of God, in the mood of Radharani, he's exhibiting such symptoms of love of God. So we can understand that if love is actually present in everyone, love is in the heart of all living entities. So we are part and parcel of Krishna, so we also have the loving propensity. But due to being covered over by matter, our loving propensity is exhibited through matter. And so, but the problem in the material world is people don't know where to repose their loving propensity. So everyone has this. Like you can see, even a dog has propensity to love. Like I was at the farm yesterday and I was observing all the children. They were playing with a dog, and the dog Bhima was actually enjoying that. So the loving propensity is there. You know, some are climbing on the back of the dog, and the dog is not biting, pulling the tail. So this loving propensity is in everyone. So generally, when we are young, we learn to, or we naturally love our parents. Then, as we grow up, our circle expands. We start loving our friends. And those who are around us, we go to school, we start, you know, making friendship. Then as we grow further, you know, we start loving people in our neighborhood, in our society. Then like that goes on. Then we start, you know, loving our nation, then humanity, or a particular species. Like some people, they are protecting certain species. They are, you know, showing the loving propensity. And then we find a life partner, so, you know, repose our loving propensity. So in this way, this loving propensity is in everyone. But the problem is, because it is described, the loving propensity is compared to light. So the light doesn't have any end, you know, like a ray of light, it doesn't have any end, it keeps going. So the problem in the material world is that it gets frustrated because it's being hit by matter. So actually a loving propensity is meant to be reposed in Krishna, because Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Because Krishna knows how to reciprocate properly with everyone's loving propensity. Whereas we see with the other jivas, because they're so limited, they cannot reciprocate our loving propensity, and that's why there is frustration. So in this world, everyone is coming up with so many different ways to exhibit this loving propensity in so many different ways, you know. But still we see that they're not happy, and we can see this on people's faces. We can read the statistics. Though sometimes they look very happy, but deep down there is no inner satisfaction. And as we know, so many people these days are very lonely, because they don't have a good friend, because naturally their friends cannot reciprocate properly. So if we want to fully be satisfied, you know, then we actually have to come to the point of learning how to love Krishna. If we learn how to love Krishna, then we can truly be happy. Because Krishna is unlimited and he can properly reciprocate with with our desires, because we have unlimited desires and the other living entity is quite limited. So how many of the desires they can fulfill? Our desires are unlimited and their desires are also unlimited, and they expecting us to fulfill their desires and we expecting them. So it's not possible. So therefore in the material world, I was reading in Nectar Devotion, there is bhoga tyag, which means we do one activity for a while, then we change and do another activity. So we keep juggling between the activities. So that's continuously going on. But we see devotees who are serving Krishna, they can serve Krishna for years and be very satisfied in their service. One might say, okay, even devotees take a break and they go for a holiday. But even if they take a break, what are they doing? They're still chanting Hare Krishna, going to Bhagavatam class, engaging in kirtan, glorifying the Lord, going to the holy dham. So it is basically the same activities. But in the material realm, the activities are constantly being switched over. So if one, like in the previous verse, it describes how to develop this love for Krishna. So first we have to realize we have to develop this love for Krishna. Because at this point of time, this love has turned into lust. So that lust, as is described in Bhagavad Gita, has to be transformed into lust. Just like, what's the analogy? Milk is transformed into yogurt. So in the same way, this lust has to be transformed into love for Krishna. And for that we need to follow the process of devotional service. The previous verse is very interesting. It goes in the opposite way. So it says, if one's hairs do not stand on end, then how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? And if one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? So it's the reverse way. So in order to develop love for Krishna, we actually have to take up the process of sadhana bhakti. Because this is Krishna's system where we can develop love for Him. We cannot develop love for God by our own speculative methods. Love for God can be only be developed by taking Krishna's system. These days it is the fashion to manufacture one's own system to realize God, to love God. And if you talk to people, they'll tell you, they have their own ways to know God, to understand God, to love God. But one has to actually take the process given in the scriptures, coming from the Guru and Sadhus, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So the process has to come from the bona fide chain. And then we have to actually apply ourselves to the process. Simply believing in the process is not sufficient. We have to apply. Like many Krishnas say, just believe, and that's it. So even in devotional service, we don't have to be believers of Krishna. That we simply, we're coming to temple, we believe in Krishna. We come to temple once a week, few days a week, or festival times, we believe in Krishna, that's enough. No, one has to very actively apply oneself to the process of devotional service, whether it can be done in the temple or at home. So as we know, the sadhana bhakti has 9 aspects to it: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, harchanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atma, nivedanam. So it actually begins with hearing. Devotional service begins with hearing. We can see in our own lives how we came into devotional service. We heard from someone. Someone told us about devotional service. There's a program happening there and you go there. So you go, you hear from devotees, you hear a talk, or you read a book. That is also shravanam. It's passive hearing. So you read a book, and then, first of all you need some faith, actually. You need some faith to go to the devotees and actually to go in the association of devotees. And by hearing, again that faith grows stronger. And then we engage in the other processes of devotional service. And then one has to actually search out a spiritual master if one wants to make further advancement. So this says, taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. And then in that way one is connected to the chain, to Krishna. And that's when actually devotional service officially begins. So it's like, before that it is like, it's like we are preparing for the race. And then the shots are fired. 1, 2, 3, now you run. So now the race has begun. So then it begins. So then, you know, one develops more and more faith. And then one has to come to the, eventually one has to come to the point of anartha nivritti, which means getting rid of all unwanted habits in the heart, getting rid of material contamination. So the sadhana bhakti process has to bring us to this point. So unless we have come to this point, one cannot render pure devotional service as it is mentioned in this verse. Because we see it is a fashion that sometimes like sahajya devotee. Sahajya means one who's making a show of devotional service. Externally they are, you know, they're chanting, dancing, you know, reading Bhagavatam. But internally they are addicted to sinful activities. And you see so many of them in the dham. So one cannot execute such kind of devotional service without going through the process of sadhana bhakti. And that might take some time. So we have to be patient. You know, we have to develop the quality of perseverance. Because we cannot think, you know, okay, I've rendered devotional service for a few years, so now I'm very advanced. No, we have to, actually, this is our career, you know. Sadhana bhakti is our career. So just like, sometimes people ask if you are serving in the temple full time, what do you do? Apart from serving in the temple, what do you do? Okay, you rise early in the morning, you chant around, you know, go to the morning program. Then, you know, what do you do all day? You know, do you do anything besides this? You know, do you have a job? You know, like, is that all you do? You know, but they can't see that actually this is a career in itself. You know, this is career of controlling our mind and senses. You know, by preaching Krishna consciousness, this is a great career. By following the instructions of the spiritual master, taking the instructions of the spiritual master to heart. Generally, people think you are making advancement in life if you are progressing materially. You know, you're getting so many degrees, you're expanding your social circle, and you're getting so many certifications, you're climbing up the ladder, you're climbing the corporate ladder. So that's how you're making advancement. But in devotional service, we understand that there's a process of knowledge, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. There are 19 items in the process of knowledge, beginning with humility, amanitvam. Humility, truthfulness, pridelessness, you know, there are so many different qualities. These are items of knowledge which help one to reach to the stage of pure devotional service. And as I was describing in the last class, that first we have to take up to the process of sadhana bhakti, and eventually these other items also manifest in a devotee. So a devotee does not strive to independently cultivate these qualities, but by rendering devotional service, these qualities manifest in a devotee. So this is a career to develop these qualities. So because these days people do not consider that, you know, in the Vedic civilization, this is advancement of civilization. When one develops good character, develops these qualities of items of knowledge, this is advancement of civilization. So civilization was, they would judge a civilization how rich it is by seeing the character of the people, the consciousness of the citizens. But in Kali Yuga, the civilization is considered to be advanced if they have a lot of technology, you know. Advancement in civilization, as Prabhupada said, bigger skyscraper buildings, bigger freeways, you know, add more lanes to the freeway, more technology, and And your personal life, you can do whatever you want. More freedom, you know. Just do anything you like. No sense control and like that. So this is considered to be, in Kali Yuga, this is the opposite. So when we see this, because we are living in Kali Yuga, so we should not get bewildered by this, because we naturally we will go out of the temple, because for preaching purposes or those who are living outside. So we should try, because it can be very bewildering at times. You know, you're walking on Swanson Street and it just seems normal the way people are, but that is an abnormal state of life. You should keep that in mind. So people are not trying to understand why are they, you know, suffering in this material world. And especially in Australia, we can see, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishwarya prasakta nam taya parita chetasam. The bhoga and aishwarya, they, because of that, one's determination for devotional service gets weak, generally speaking, for one who is not a devotee. And even for devotees, we see sometimes they get affected. Because, and we can see Australia these days, the weather is so nice. You know, it's the summertime. Everyone likes to go to the beach. It's the beach culture. And so people are not interested, especially cities like Brisbane, where the weather is, you know, all the time is good. Melbourne still, most of the time, it's horrible weather. So people can, you know, think about life a little bit. But generally, where places where, you know, there's a lot of material opulence and, you know, weather conditions are good, people are not generally interested in Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's the thankless task of Maya to give them a kick. And when we get a kick, that's when we get serious in devotional service. So that's when they start inquiring about the purpose of life. So, sorry, got a bit sidetracked. So coming back to the point. So one has to render devotional service in order to come to the stage of anartha nivritti. And that is actually a career. So generally, a devotee who is on this stage of like ecstatic love, they do not like to. First of all, in order to, from the point of anartha nivritti, if they have to reach to this stage, then they have to actually a devotee has to follow in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, or any of the, you know, devotees who are in pure love of God, depending on which rasa they are in, which mellow of devotional service they are in with Krishna. So like somebody who wants to be like a sakha, friend of Krishna, so he has to meditate on one of the friends of Krishna, like Subal. Subal is a, is it, who is it? Some, there's a very famous friend of Krishna, I just forgot. Sorry? Sridham, yes. So one can meditate on him. So, but in order to do that, one has to be on anartha nivritti. One has to be beyond that. Otherwise it is simply a farce. And we see in Vrindavan, like, you know, people, they think they are an associate of Krishna. You know, they act like a friend of Krishna. But internally they are addicted to all kinds of abominable habits. So by meditating on one of the friends of Krishna, then one makes advancement like that, and meditating in the mind. But still, outwardly, they follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, of sadhana bhakti, because normal people, they cannot understand this kind of behavior. You know, for a common man, they get bewildered. If you see someone like this, you know, you'll get bewildered. Even as devotees, we'll get bewildered if you see someone's acting like that. So they follow in the footsteps of a pure devotee. And like you can see the friends of Krishna, like when Krishna was a young boy, so he was, Krishna and Balram, they're playing on the banks of the river Yamuna. And then Mother Rohini comes there and says, okay, Balram and Krishna, come back and have lunch. It's time for lunch. But they're so absorbed in playing with their friends that they're saying, no, we are too busy. And they didn't respond or they didn't go back. Then Mother Rohini gave up, and then Mother Yashoda came there. And then she said, okay, Krishna and Balram, it's time for lunch. Please come. You know, you must be very hungry. So they are absorbed in playing with their friends. So materially it might seem that this is sense gratification. You know, the friends of Krishna are playing with Krishna to have fun. But they are playing with Krishna in order to give Krishna fun, in order to gratify Krishna's senses. So that is the mood. And so still they don't come back. Then Yashoda mother says, Nanda Maharaj is very hungry. Unless you come, Nanda Maharaj won't eat. So then they say, okay. Then they started walking. And then the friends of Krishna, they say, hey, how come you're leaving us? You know, now this is the summit of the game. This is the climax and now you're leaving. And they say, okay, if you leave, then we're not going to ever play with you again. So then again Krishna and Balaram, they return to their friends. They forget their mother's instruction. Then Yashoda mother, she scolds them. She said, okay, you know, come, you're so dirty. You're playing in dirt and you should look at your friends. They're wearing ornaments. You should be nicely dressed. And on top of that, today is your birthday. So you should come and give cows in charity to the brahmanas. So then, you know, she scolds them and then they come back. So we can see in this way, so some devotees, they follow in the footsteps of Krishna's friends. Then some follow in the footsteps of, if they want to go in the parental affection. So they follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata. And some follow in the footsteps of the gopis who want to develop conjugal love. So it is also described in Nectar Devotion. Those who meditate, those who want to be a wife of Krishna, they go to Dwarka. And the others, they go to Vrindavan. So these are like the different, you know, stages of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada actually recommended that devotees should read Nectar of Devotion every day. Especially back in the old days, I was hearing a lecture of my spiritual master. He was mentioning they would read Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita every day in the evenings. So 15 minutes they would have a class on. They would be reading from Nectar of Devotion and then they would read Bhagavad Gita 45 minutes, have a class on that. So this was the ISKCON sandwich. So, but now we can still read it ourselves. So because Nectar of Devotion, if we read Nectar of Devotion, it gives us, what is the goal of devotional service? The goal of devotional service is to develop pure love for Krishna. Because sometimes we can get distracted, you know, we can be rendering devotional service, but we can forget the goal of devotional service, which is actually to develop pure love for Krishna. So when we read Nectar of Devotion, we can know how to execute devotional service, what is the different processes, and how to ultimately develop love for Krishna. And then, how is the devotee situated in love for Krishna? Unless we know the goal, it's very important to know the goal. Otherwise, one cannot achieve it. You know, even outside the mundane world, you know, you need to have goals in your life. In your career, you need to have goals. It's the same thing. So another interesting point here is, so one whose heart melts in love of Krishna becomes more stable and cannot be disturbed by opposing arguments, bodily sufferings, mental problems, supernatural disasters, or interference of envious persons. So we can see that one who is on this platform, he is not disturbed by any material conditions of life. So in other words, this is an Uttamadhikari. You know, Uttamadhikari is very expert in the Shastra. And he can convince anyone. But for preaching purposes, they come on the Madhyam level platform. But they cannot be disturbed by any of these things. So I'll stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Corrections. Yes, Prabhuji.
How do you get faith in Krishna to begin with?
How do we get faith? By the mercy of a devotee.
Agyata
Sukriti.
Agyata Sukriti. You must have done something in the past and how to come to Krishna.
By generally through mercy of a devotee, like, you know, you're doing Harinam and you're distributing so much Agyata Sukriti. These people, it might be their first contact with devotional service. So by simply by that, some small faith comes. And then also by rendering service unto devotees, as is described in the first canto, if one wants to develop a taste for hearing, the pastimes of the Lord, if one renders service to devotees, service to pure devotees, that also gives one faith. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, even in devotional service?
You said we should have some goals.
Yes.
In the context,
okay. So, we should have a long-term goal, which is to develop love for Krishna. And then we should have short-term goals, which help us lead to the long-term goals. It's interesting. His Holiness Bhakti Vishwambar Madhava Swami was mentioning. He said, every Ekadasi, you should review your goals. You should make short-term goals to achieve your long-term goal, which is Krishna Prem. So, depending on what stage of Krishna consciousness we are, so for somebody who's taking up Krishna consciousness, might be, my goal is to chant 4 rounds this week. Then, making short-term goals to eventually reach 16 rounds. So, depending on what stage we are. So, for someone who's chanting 16 rounds, his goal might be to get initiated. So he's working on that, and to control his senses, to say, for example, eat less sweets. That might be his goal. So so there are different. You can have many different goals. Generally, it's good to consult some devotee when you're setting your goals.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Comment. They're talking about all the symptoms there. It says that. By devotional service, when the soul gets purified, it becomes an incomparable situation, and that's why the body is getting, you react, because you identify no more with the body, you identify with Krishna. And so that's why all these symptoms appear, it seems like, body, you're waiting to get out of this thing. That's why this kind of gets mentioned like that. Mm-hmm. And an analogy will be like a crude one, will be like, you see, the if it counts to graze in the daytime, and then the calves are there. See, a calf is at the base. You would say, of course, the calf is given some whatever food, some water, some grass, some tender grass, and all that. But towards the evening, when he sees the mother, and the calf is tied up and the jumping, so the mother is coming. That means everything is evolved, and of course, bag of milk and cuddle and the whole package, you can say. So the calf is jumping about and excited.
Thank you.
You tell only sadhana, what was spontaneous love?
I'm not qualified for that.
How you get?
By sadhana bhakti. We have to focus on that, because we have to purify our heart at this stage. But we can read what it is like in the Nectar of Devotion. Chapter 20 onwards describes all of that spontaneous devotion. So we can read to have an idea what we want to achieve. But we have to very strictly follow the process of sadhana bhakti. To be honest, I don't have much understanding of that, so I'm very unqualified to speak on it. If Prabhuji can describe more.
If you perform sadhana bhakti very well, and in next birth, then you become an associate of Krishna in the sense that when you take birth, is this eternal universe and eternal pastime that we know. If you have perfected bhakti, the next, then you become one of those associates of Krishna. And that is the same. Then it becomes spontaneous. Yeah. No more sadhana, because you're
with him. One might be on the spontaneous platform even in this body.
That is true.
It can be, but he'll still be following the regulative principles, he or she. And generally, I think I read in Krishna book, so after one has perfected, one goes in, as you mentioned, goes in different universes where Krishna is executing his pastimes. So to be further trained up or and then go back to Godhead. Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, that's right. The means and the end is the same.
Yeah.
In Bhakti Yoga.
In the beginning it's like you're doing it because you have to. That's
right.
Yes. Spontaneous action is the meaning, but that comes later.
That's right. Yes.
You're doing it because you should like to.
Like to do it. Yeah, naturally. Thank you. It's a good point.
In sadhana bhakti, what factor pleases Krishna most?
What factor pleases
Krishna most?
Bhagavad Gita 4:34, secret of advancement of spiritual life is to take to heart the order of the spiritual master. That's what pleases Krishna. Whatever the spiritual master says.
Otherwise,
Ultimately everything is preaching. There's direct and supportive preaching. So, whatever the spiritual master says, you know. If he says you do puja, and that's what will please Krishna. But if you go and do something else, then that won't be very pleasing. That's my understanding. Not simply meditating. You need to follow the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. That's how you achieve love for Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Like to add something?
Yeah, you can understand the constitutional position. Like a larva meditates on the butterfly, and then it becomes a butterfly. But the larva meditates on a tiger, doesn't become a tiger. So, you have to be careful there. So, you must understand what you can meditate on. You can meditate saying that you're a son of Krishna. That's your constitutional position. Anything else is wrong and dangerous.
That's right, yes. Yeah, the consciousness with which we're meditating is very important. What we are thinking. Many people meditate, you know. So then some of the lectures we give in the slideshows we have, so one person is meditating on Durga, Hey Ma, and then another person is meditating, is saying Hey Ma, but Hey Ma Malini. So, you know. So, is the Hema Malini is an actress in India. So,
Hema Malini.
Yes. So, depends what you're thinking, you know. What you're meditating. What's your consciousness? As Prabhu very nicely pointed out, one has to meditate, I'm the servant of Krishna, servant of my spiritual master. That's the proper consciousness. So many comments today. Yes.
Some people have
got
very great motivation.
Yes. They want
to be GBC.
GBC, yes. Or get purified. Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.